What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Dirt Shed Show. Myself, Ferg.
And myself, Rich.
This week on the Dirt Shed Show, we are discussing, is underbiking cool or are you just running the wrong bike? So, Rich, you've just got back from the Alps where James, our resident XC specialist, took on the Leger World Cup downhill track.
Yes, he did. Bless him, he gave it a good shot. So yeah, James thought it'd be a good idea to ride the Leger World Cup track matter of days after the World Cup had just been on. But there was a twist. He did it on a full-on World Cup cross-country race bike, a Canyon Lux to be precise.
Yeah.
100 mil travel. It did have a little dropper on it, but you know, like steep, tiny little two-pop brakes. He's a wild man. And he took it like a champ.
He did. He did amazingly well. A few crashes along the way.
Up and down.
If you haven't seen it, definitely watch it. But it got me thinking, is underbiking cool?
Wow, that is a big question because I like being underbiked sometimes. And I like the feeling you get of being underbiked, so like the kind of rowdier feeling, being a bit more on the edge. But sometimes I like not to be on the edge.
Big bikes, right?
Yeah, right? So yeah. It's a tricky one. I mean, I think there's definitely a case for being a lot of people being overbiked, but I just think modern day bikes, XC and trail bikes, are so capable that being underbiked is underrated.
Yeah, I mean, I'm exactly the same as you. I love underbiking. I find for me when I ride trails, like you can ride a more simple trail and it makes it a bit more fun,
yeah.
You can, a bit more exciting. But also when you do ride the sort of gnarlier trails, you have to ride it in a different way. You have to do different lines, but also you can kind of be more creative because those bikes are lighter, a little bit more nimble, so you can do those gaps maybe hadn't done before.
Entirely. And like I sort of reiterating that point of just how much modern day bikes have changed. I'm not sure, maybe, you know, we're fed quite a lot of like about big travel bikes, and we see downer bikes, big enduro bikes. And to be fair, now we're seeing a lot of cross-country bikes and trail bikes being shown to their capacity of what they can do, especially in World Cups and things like that. And some of the bigger races like Cape Epic and stuff out there where these 100 to 120 mil travel bikes are hooning it along. Obviously under very capable riders a lot of the times, but that shows that these bikes can do it. So it's a tricky one because is it then the bike or is it the rider, obviously? But that's maybe a whole nother discussion.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think, like, obviously you and I have done a lot of racing and maybe that is helping where we're, you know, we've got the skill set to manage the bike. But I would argue that there are a lot of people out there who overbike for protection more
100%,
than
100%. They'll get out of jail free card.
Yeah, it gives them a bit more confidence. But I think in this case, in the case of James...
Yes.
I would definitely want more bike.
100, yeah, for those kind of, those tracks are wild. Like I was there, I seen it. It was rutted, muddy, steep, rooty. Like it was not the track for an XC bike. So for him to be able to do even what he could on it was really good. And he is obviously a very good rider, very accustomed to riding a cross country bike. Having said that, I'd still want an enduro bike or more.
Yeah,
because
it's
mental. Like, it just looked really hard.
Yeah, I think the conditions definitely like took it up a notch for that. So fair play to him for getting that done.
Indeed.
The other thing about underbiking that I kind of draw parallels from, and I know we might have a bit of a contention on this, but for me, it draws similarities to when I ride e-bikes. So
hear me out.
When you ride underbike and you ride the lighter bike, you can do more laps because it's a lighter bike game. You sort of get more for your money. You also have to sort of chop and change how you ride. And I think you can learn a lot in terms of then transferable skills. Hear me out. When you ride an e-bike, it's the opposite end of the spectrum. It's much heavier.
Yeah.
But it provides you with more grip and and also it's like a much heavier bike, so leaning into corners and things requires a whole different skill set, changing braking, and again is transferable. You can see in the downhill guys, transfer across. I know, all right. But I think that they kind of sit on opposite end of the spectrums, and it's interesting how they both have benefits for me, from my side of things, when it comes to getting back on the sort of
I don't know. That's making a tenuous connection there. I can see. I see what you mean. I definitely think riding both types benefits like what we ride enduro bikes normally. Comparing the two, that's pretty loose, bud.
Yeah, it is a bit.
That's pretty loose. Okay, I'd have asked James, if I said, James, which would you rather take down Leger, a cross-country bike, or your e-bike, which is like a Orbea Wild 170 mil thing? Well, I know which he's going to choose, let's put it that way.
I'm like on Strictly Come Dancing here.
Yeah, true, okay, admittedly, when you put it like that, maybe
I know
you're
which
right.
way he's swaying. Right. But obviously, talking about sort of James on his XC bike.
Oh, God, on an XC bike.
World Champs has just happened out in Switzerland, Crans Montana to be precise. So to chat a little bit more about that, how about we get our sort of Lycra resident in?
I reckon we do. Let's bring him in.
James, thank you for joining us. Right, World Champs just happened, Crans Montana, not quite as wild as last year.
Yeah, I think there was a few safety concerns with the track. It was probably on the limit of what you can do on a 100mm, 120mm cross-country bike. So it's tamed down a bit. Still quite gnarly, though.
Yeah, and the weather didn't come into a factor as much this time, because last year, again, it was a mud fest, and that made the multiple lines and the A line certainly really hard, right?
Yeah, and it was borderline dangerous, I think. And it's nice to see a race where the weather doesn't play a part, or almost like ruin it for certain riders,
yeah,
I
agree, because it did make it very technical. That I remember that one bit with all the
triple
stumps.
Yeah.
The stuff like you dropped into a load of stumps, basically. Yeah.
It didn't look like they sort of regulated the course to like deal with different weather conditions, which in the Alps you need to probably do.
I'm all for more technical, come on.
I am, but you've got to, rider safety is always the main concern. I think it wasn't how technical the course was, it was actually there's certain bits with like runouts on where there was just like really sharp jagged rocks.
I remember like some of the dividers were actually just upright rocks.
Yeah,
right?
It's like a dragon's tail. Or
yeah,
something.
It was. Yeah, like, I know exactly which bit you're on. Yeah. Moving on to results, let's kick things off with the elite men.
Yeah, it was a really surprising. Well, I wouldn't say surprising because he's the reigning world champion. But Alan Hafley sort of announced last year that he was going to make the switch to road. He rode for Jayco Alula, and he said he was like mountain biking was going to be secondary for him for the Giant Factory off-road team. He came back to a bit of mountain biking at the start of this year, and he didn't look like his old self.
No.
And he just turned up to Wells
and smoked him
again.
Literally so, by like, what, 48 seconds?
Yeah, form is temporary, class is permanent.
Oh, I like it, yeah. Simone Avendetto, the Italian in second. Victor Koretsky, third.
Yeah, so that was almost like the really interesting race was for those medal positions. So it looked like it was all together. There was also Simon Andreasen in that group.
Yeah.
And then come the last lap, Avendetto just absolutely lit it up and dropped them all.
Said, Avo, no thanks, I'll take second. But elite women, Jenny Risveds, Olympic champion, not recently, but like former Olympic champion.
Yeah. It's crazy to think this is her first world championship victory as an elite female.
Yeah,
because she won the Olympic XCO in 2016 and then took the short break from the sport and has come back. Seems to be her former self now. So nice.
It wasn't easy though, was it?
No, like a really close race. You can see Samara Maxwell was second and only 18 seconds behind.
Yeah.
But Jenny did look fairly convincing. She's like a very good all-round XCO athlete, really, technically. And any course, she seems like she can just turn her hand to it.
Yeah, Keller was there as well for a lot of the race, but towards the end just got dropped, couldn't quite hack the pace, right?
Yeah, it was like, I just think once Jenny sort of got that gap, it was, everyone was just
that
fine.
That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she ran away. A fairly uneventful race, actually, in the women's.
Yeah, like it wasn't, like, same with the men. It's like once Alan got his minute, you sort of knew he was going to win it, but
they almost looked like they sat up and just were like, well, he's gone, so battle's for second, really.
Yeah, and it's kind of similar in the women's, I guess.
Yeah.
But a really impressive ride for Evie Richards as well in fourth place.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Quick under-23 men's.
Yeah, I didn't watch the under-23 men's, so I don't have much feedback to give, but impressive ride by Finn Treudler. I don't know how you say his name.
They're close enough.
Yeah.
Swiss rider though, right?
Swiss rider, yeah. A couple British lads
on the
doing well.
Bix team.
He is on the Bix team.
Yeah, Isabella Holmgren taking the under 23 women's gold medal as well, with a pretty commanding lead on that one.
Yeah, she looks like she'll be a really good rider once we see her in her elites. Two minute gap in an XCO race is no joke.
Monstrous.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, dude. Well, look, we've
got some more stuff to talk
about.
So we
have to kick you out.
All right, I'll see you in a bit.
All right, buddy. Thank you very much. Cheers, James. Right, as James leaves us, on with the show. Yeah, thank you very much, James. Right, time for the news. And it's very Garmin heavy this week, but bear with us as they've released a whole host of brand new products. First up, we've got the Fenix 8 Pro and Fenix 8 Pro Micro LED. Now, this is a much brighter screen or a much brighter output, but also is able to reduce battery wear and tear. So essentially a longer battery life of it. But the main points here are the incorporation of its in-reach capabilities. Now, this is Garmin's kind of emergency situation, kind of beacons, messaging, calling. And it essentially means you can do this now via their LTE satellite system without needing your phone. Yes, you can actually contact your loved ones. Ferg, help, I'm stuck. And I don't need my phone to do it. And hopefully he will come and rescue me.
Yeah, I'm sure I will. And moving on, we have the Edge 550 and 850. These are updated head units from Garmin. They include a higher resolution screen and also an increased battery life, along with introduction of new profiles, the Enduro profile and the Downhill profile, that go together perfectly with its 5Hz system. This gives you super accurate data and allows you to sort of track line choice and things like that, along with the addition of timing gates, which allows you to set individual timing gates down a hill and get your split times. So lots of new features and very exciting.
Yeah, and if you're a real fancy, you can pair them up with the new Rally Power Meter pedals. They've got a new updated version of their mountain bike Rally pedal, which has got a whole host of features. Now, there are two versions available, the XC110 and the XC210. You've either got a single sensor or dual sensor, so kind of giving you slightly more accuracy, if you like, and being able to tell what power's coming out of what leg. Get it? What? You liked that, I can tell. Both are SPD compatible, of course, as well.
To keep them accurate, Garmin have the Pedal IQ Smart Calibration. Now, this system detects if there's any loss of changes in factors or loss of calibration, sends a notification to your watch or to your phone. It also has a rechargeable battery in the pedal and it lasts up to 90 hours. So yeah, that's pretty cool. It's lasting a lot longer.
I like that. The rechargeable battery is a big upgrade from the previous versions. Now, prices are up on screen now. Do you use power meter pedals? Let us know. It is now time, Ferg,
for
Hacks and Modges! Oh, nice. Okay, that was impromptu, but I liked it. Yeah, we've got some bangers this week. And don't forget, if you submit them and you win, you will get a prize or a voucher up to the value of £50 for the GMBN store. But they got to be good ones, because we like to see the good stuff.
Yeah, we're pretty harsh, harsh judges.
But first up, we've got a real good one from David Jeffrey. Now, this is a top tip. Save weight and save your chain on long journeys with the Sushi Soy Sauce Squirter. Simply replace the soy sauce for chain lube. God, I can't. Don't make me say that again. It's actually really good though.
Yeah, but it's such a tongue twister.
I know.
That is such a hack. I love it.
Yeah, that is actually pretty clever. I would use that for like multi-day stuff now.
I mean, just carrying it in general. Like on a hot day, midday lube, it's mint.
Yeah, nice. David, that's a strong start. Next up, we've got James King with a homemade bike stand. And I quite like the looks of this. Built this over the recent UK bank holiday out of an old single bed frame I found for free so I could store the bikes and the back of my van for travelling to trails. It's pretty clever.
It is.
Like that's, you know, just like...
Yeah, whack in the back of the van.
Wedge sliders.
Just, yeah, I like it.
There are very fancy, expensive versions of this, but I mean, just an old bed frame.
Why not?
James, nice. That's a strong contender, buddy. And last, but by no means least, we've got this from Mike Johnson. And he says, what's the best way to clean that sticky, dirty wax off your chain to prep for the next wax? I dip my chain brush into a cup of boiling water.
Right.
Apply to chain and give it a spin. Repeat several times. Dry the chain. Apply the new drip of wax.
I'm not sure about that one.
We haven't said if these are hacks or bodges. What are that? The
100%
sushi ones are 100%
hack. 100% hack. And then...
Bit of a bodge, that
bit
one,
of a bodge.
I think
you've got Petey's degree, so you could always just...
Oh, nice. That. Smooth. I like that. So who are we going to pick as our winner?
It's got to be the lube, surely.
David Jeffrey.
Soy lube. I love
it. It's good. Congratulations, buddy. Don't forget, send us your details to claim your prize. And as always, the uploader is linked down below. Please send in your hacks and bodges because, well, they set the bar pretty high and we would love to see what you got.
Okay, Rich, moving on to things we like this week. First up, kicking things off, we have Woolly Fest. William Roberts, have you seen it?
I've seen snippets of it. It looks mad.
That wooden kicker is insane. I can't even imagine.
Huge.
I can't even imagine going up in the air.
We were looking at in the office, that big extended Superman. Was it Superman seat grab or Superman? So it was just monstrous.
Like insane. Yeah. And over that lake, that backdrop. Oh, imagine having that photo in your back room.
Yeah, I would. I'd have wallpaper if that
everywhere.
Was me. Yeah, yeah. It'd just be done. That'd on be a it. Bedspread and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. I like that. Another one. We're going more low-key. Grassroots. The X Enduro down on Exmoor in the UK. Just low-key, multi-day Enduro race. Just looked really fun. Quintessentially British with like tea and sandwiches for lunch at an Enduro race. It just looks really fun.
Scone or a scone? Well, are you a scone or a scone?
I'm a scone.
Man?
I'm a scone.
Yeah, I'm a scone man as well.
Are you jam and cream or cream and jam?
Cream and jam.
Yeah, I would. I am too, actually. Yeah. But it just looked good. I liked it. And another thing I liked, obviously a little bit of moto in it, Reese Wilson back on it.
Getting
better, just ragging it around on the TCR, dragging some bars, some ruts, just good. Good fun on a motorbike, yeah. Some just good, cool things this week. That is
we need
we
to
like.
Get on the moto soon.
We do. Before the weather changes.
Exactly.
Yeah, there we go. Right, moving on. Third, time for caption contest where... Hold on. They can win a prize up to the value of £50 in the GMBN shop if your caption is chosen. Now, last week's picture was this. Poor old James.
Poor James.
Poor, if only... You knew, and you will soon enough. But we got some great captions come in using the hashtag caption contest in the comments down below. Do you want to start them off?
I will indeed. So Jason True said, when you take a ride and you end up getting hurt in the crown jewels, nothing worse. It does look like that.
Yeah, Sean MC, did the pixels for this photo fall down here? Quick explainer, this was a screen grab from an upcoming video, not a dedicated picture, but I do like that caption. It's a pretty good one. It's good. I like that.
Moving on to Cameron S523. When you try to convince your buddy that you're just fine after a massive climb when you're not actually fine at all. I mean, that was pretty much what happened.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty blooming accurate, that
pretty
one
close.
As well. Yeah, all right. So what are we choosing as the winner?
I like the first one. I mean, the pixel one's good as well.
It's a good play on words.
What do you reckon?
Jason True, 2018. When you take a ride and you end up getting hurt in the crown jewels, because it looks exactly like that. But they were all very good this week.
They were all very good.
Congratulations. And here is this week's picture. Wow. Little and large there. Yeah, let us know. Caption contest down below in the comments for your chance to win a prize. Ferg, it's time for Bike Vault. Yes, you lovely people have sent in your pride and joys and, well, we're going to review them, basically. Yeah. We're going to tell you whether they're nice or super nice. And first one we got is, we're starting strong. Sam Gardner, you've sent in your Yeti. It's a short travel, 130, I'm guessing?
Yeah, SB 130. And
Hawaiian Trails.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool, isn't
that's
it?
That's a super nice short. Should we go, Brett?
Instant.
Yeah, the colour-coded sort of orange grips, orange decals... Matching decals on the wheels. That's a very strong start.
And it's an underbike central. It is.
Yeah, I suppose it is. Whereas now, we are very much overbiked.
I like it.
Depending on what he's riding. Christian Shu. Now, this is his new bike day, the Cube 215 in Bike Park Paganella.
Paganella. I have ridden there. Good. That is in Italy, right next to Val d'Isola. That is actually pretty serious, and I can see why you would have...
He is not overbiked.
No, he is not. And also, I really like the view. I mean, it's pretty epic.
But, Christian, it's non-drive side.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's
it's non-drive side, dude.
Always drive side.
So close. So close. It's nice.
It's
nice. I can't go super nice. Next up, a nuke proof from Sidesh Azaka. I hope I've pronounced that right. I apologise if not. Big day out in Moab a few months ago during our trip to a trail system called Raptor Route. The Americans have cool names for their trails.
They do. And
Raptor
they always sound epic, yeah.
Yeah, so. Now, what are we saying about it? It's very stealthy. It's almost quite hard to see.
Yeah.
But the backdrop and the trail looks cool. So I don't really know.
It just looks desert-like, doesn't it?
It looks cool.
So
what are we saying? I'm going to let you choose.
I'm going to go super nice.
You got to ring the bell. Nice, man. Sidesh, nice work. Oh, wow. That's a fast-looking bike.
So next up, we have Simon Holhan. And he said, here's my Scottscale RC custom build.
I've
owned it a few years and just broke the habit of a lifetime and ditched Shimano for SRAM.
Wow, okay. I mean, mechanical as well, I see.
Yeah, so, I mean, I love it.
Yeah, that's a good bike. That's a super nice.
The only thing is the one-piece bar and stem. For me, I like it sometimes, but then I suppose it is on an XC bike, so it's aero.
Yeah, pluses and minuses, but I think I can overlook that on this one. Yeah, I'm going to give this a super nice. Simon, thank you very much for sending that one in. Next up, another little short travel. Is this the 120?
It's the 140.
Merida 140. Nice. That's from Mark Blood coming in. Where's this one to, Ferg?
It's in Canberra in Australia, Mount Stromlo. It's got the Marzocchi Z1 up front, RockShox Deluxe Select Plus in the rear, and Raceface Atlas pedals and PT's grips.
Yeah, he's got like the pump on the down tube. He looks like he's ready for a big day out. I'm quite liking this, I'll be honest.
Yeah, it looks like a big mission bike, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It looks like just a good all-day trail bike, and I'm all for the big all-day trail bikes at the moment. I'm liking them. So yeah. I think I'm going to give this a super nice, because I like the colour as well.
Yes.
Okay, last one. What have we got, buddy?
Last but not least, we have Adam Paul Mitchinson.
Nice.
And he has got a Bird 160, is it? Bird 0AM with Fox 36 160s, Hope wheels, Hope Tech 4 brakes, discs, DMR bars and cranks, and Unite pedals.
Wow. I mean, quite the list.
It is quite the
list. Where is he? Heartbreak Ridge in Aberdeenshire. Adam, good work. There's actually some strong bikes. And don't forget, the uploader is linked in the description down below. We do love to see your rides, so please do send them in. Ferg, we're getting towards the end of the show, but we have got some cool things coming up this week,
indeed,
don't we?
Yes. So I took our resident average rider, Charlie, to the Steel City Downhill. So that's coming up, how he got on.
And what's Steel City Downhill, for those who might not know?
It is the ultimate UK grassroots race. It's very cool.
Yeah, it is. And I went bike packing with a twist and took my dad. Yes, Phil Payne is back on screen, people. Don't worry, not full time. But I've been bike packing with dad back in the summer. Oh, well, you're going to want to watch this one to see how it went. Because
how did that go? I can't imagine.
I've not spoken to him since.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't imagine going riding with my dad. I think that would end in tears.
Yeah, I nearly did. But that's it for this week's show. Thank you very much for watching, everybody. It's been an absolute pleasure. Cheers. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you very much.
Should we fist bump?
Yeah, we should. Boom. Catch you guys
later,
next
everyone.
Time.
Oh, I liked that.
Yeah.